Our scripture reading today is from Mark's version of the Gospel of Jesus, and we read together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.' So they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" It's Palm Sunday, and traditionally, this is the day in church worldwide where we commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And today, we look at this event through the eyes of Mark. Now, the gospel of Jesus is proclaimed by four people: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of them emphasizes a different aspect of the events. And if you look closely at Mark's version, Jesus' message is not totally about himself. He doesn't speak a lot about his identity as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Light of the World, or any of the other famous images of God that we have. Of course, Mark confirms that Jesus is both the Messiah and the Son of God. But for Mark, this story, the gospel of Christ, is about the way of Jesus, the way of the Lord. Just look at how he starts his version of the gospel. In the beginning, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" Now, the Greek word for way is hordos, and Mark uses it very frequently. Some translations replaced it with the word path or road, but the word refers to a way to and for and of life. And this is the good news of Jesus. Jesus' message is, there is another way of life. There's another way than what this world offers, and it is a way that takes you to the kingdom of God. And every time Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about a life with God. So when he says the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand or is near, he is saying a life with God is available and here right now. And Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday proclaims this good news of the way of the Lord to us. And so today, three places where the way of Jesus takes us when we follow him. In the first place, the way of Jesus leads us to Jerusalem. This is what Jesus did that first Palm Sunday. He decides to enter Jerusalem. He takes a stand for God's kingdom there in the holy city. Now you need to remember here, Jerusalem, this city, was the heart of political, economic, and religious power. It is a symbol of status, importance, and position for religious leaders, political leaders, and the rich. So when Jesus enters into Jerusalem in the midst of the cheering crowds, he's in effect saying, I stand not for the kingdom of the politics, the economics, and the religious leaders of this day. I stand for God's kingdom. Jesus cannot justify the massive structures of evil that surround him or unrighteousness. He knows that he must face the unrighteousness in the temple. Remember, the next day he's going to the temple where he gets really angry. He knows that he needs to step up and take a stand against the unrighteousness in the world, no matter what happens to him personally, no matter what it's going to cost him. Because if he doesn't, he will fail in his calling to be the Messiah for both Israel and the world. And so by entering into Jerusalem, he takes the essential first step in his final action to save all of mankind. This is the start of Holy Week. This is the start to the way that leads us to Easter. And so the road to Jerusalem invites us to make decisions. It invites us to decide what we stand for. And there are moments in our lives where we have to enter Jerusalem, a Jerusalem. Sometimes our Jerusalem is that relationship in which I stand up for faithfulness, or the business deal I negotiate with honesty, or the issues of inequality between those who have and those who do not, the inequality in race and gender. I take a stand. That might be the Jerusalem I'm facing. And we are invited to live as Jesus would. And he took a stand against the powers in Jerusalem that were against God's kingdom with courage, but also with vulnerability and with humility. Will we do the same? Will we do the same when the way of Jesus leads us to Jerusalem? How are you going to enter? How are you going to take that stand? What will be your posture? It asks a lot of courage, but Christ invites us to do it in a way of humility, authenticity. The way of Jesus also leads us to the cross. Now, I think it's a universal human condition to want the hosannas and to want the hallelujahs of the way of Jesus without the cross of Good Friday. We don't want to go there. But look at these words by the poet William Penn. He says, no pain, then no palm. No thorns, no throne. No gall, no glory. No cross, no crown. The pain and the thorns and the gall and the cross are part of what it means to follow Jesus. And we can't have the palm or the throne or the crown if we don't have the cross. There simply is no other way. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So the way to the cross invites us to take up our own cross, to follow Jesus in that way. In the first century Christianity, the cross had a dual meaning. On the one hand, it represented the power of the Roman Empire. For it was only that empire that could crucify people. And it was used as a symbol of punishment for a crime. When there's a denial of the authority of the Roman Empire, or when someone deliberately chose or acted against that power, they were crucified. On the other hand, by the time Mark was giving this version of the gospel, the cross also became a symbol for the way of death, but also resurrection, the way to enter into new life by dying from an old life. The cross is the way of transformation. And transformation isn't something that happens overnight. It doesn't just happen like this, because Jesus isn't a magic wand or a quick fix. He changes my life while I walk with him, while I go on this journey with him, on this way. And it's a journey, it's a way with a whole bunch of dimensions. It's a journey of repentance. As I turn away from that which is destructive, and as I turn to Christ and keep doing it every day of my life, something beautiful is born. As I die to the old patterns, and so there's new patterns that are birthed. It's a journey of trust. A journey of trust that grows ever deeper. It's a journey of daily sacrifice as I learn to walk every moment of my life with Jesus. It's a journey in fellowship with others. It's a journey of consent as I open my life to Christ and give him permission to enter every part of my humanity, my being. And as I go on this journey, something beautiful is born in the mess. Something beautiful comes from the pain and the cross. And then you and I become agents of this beauty and restoration and saving and transformation in this world that is filled with incredible brokenness, suffering, and pain. The way to the cross invites us to say yes to God's transformative work in my life, even if it takes me to pain. And then the way of Jesus always leads to the kingdom of God. And the way of Jesus is strengthened by the fact that there were two processions into Jerusalem on that day. The first was Jesus entering Jerusalem, but the other procession was an imperial one. On or about the same day, the Roman governor Pontius Pilate entered the city from the west with horsemen and an infantry to reinforce the troops at the Temple Mount. Now remember, the Temple Mount is the holiest site for Jews in Jerusalem. And here comes a kingdom of this world trying to say, this is ours. And Pilate did this every year with Passover. And it was a spectacle of power, weapons, helmets, golden eagles on poles. I mean, you can only imagine. You can only imagine how the sun must have glistened on the metal and gold of the weapons. The beating of 1,000 horses' hooves on the ground, the feet of thousands of marching soldiers, the cracking of the leather of their suits, the beating of drums, the eyes of the spectators, some curious, some with fear. It is a spectacular entry of power. Jesus and the Jews would have known of this spectacular entry into Jerusalem. And Jesus decides to enter the city in a different way. I think today we could have called it a counter demonstration or a protest, but he shows us, as it were, the choice between two kingdoms, two visions, two ways of life on this earth. He teaches us that this world, this kingdom here, will try and influence and impress us with the spectacular, with the power, with the might. But there's another way, because there's another kingdom. And I wonder if the disciples remembered Jesus' words in that moment that the crowd shouted, "Blessed is the coming kingdom." I wonder if they remember Jesus' words, "But seek first his kingdom." You see, the way to the kingdom of God invites us to seek God's kingdom first. This means he invites us to change the direction of our hearts. He invites us to shift the center of gravity in our lives. He invites us to radically challenge our priorities. He challenges us to shift the center of our attention. Put your hearts first on God's kingdom. In simple English, put God first. Yes, there's a kingdom of this world in which we now live, but it's not the one with the power and the last word. There's another kingdom, another throne, another power that will reign over this kingdom forever and ever and ever. And the God who created this world, who holds it together, the God who created you and me, the God who loved us into existence, the God who knows you by name and who knows me by name, the God who came into this world in Jesus Christ, the God who gave his life for you and me, invites us, invites you and I to enter into his kingdom. Seek that kingdom. Get to know that kingdom. Study God's word. See it. Look for it in the birds, in the flowers, in the face of your neighbor. Seek first the kingdom. The way of Jesus takes us to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God invites us to seek. And I wonder if we can enter into Holy Week with a practical exercise in following the Jesus way. Trevor is guiding us this week with the theme, following the Jesus way. But I want to invite you, every time you walk through a door this week, that you pray the grace. I ask for the grace to follow the Jesus way. Lord, I ask for the grace to follow you. Lord, we want to follow you to the cross. We want to follow you in your last moments. We want to follow you to resurrection and new life and your kingdom. And so we ask for your grace. Help us. Have mercy on us, Lord, as we seek you, as you lead us, as we follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you have the need for prayer or want to speak to someone, you have a pastoral need or desire, please contact us at gebedsversoeke@mosaic.com and one of our team members will be in contact with you. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.